The following show is a replay of KTQA Daily Briefing. For more information, please call 253-330-8821 or visit us online at daily.ktqa.org. Oh, I forgot to do the fade this time. It's a hard cut. Not what I intended. Good afternoon. It's 3:02 on Wednesday, April 15th, 2020, and you are listening to the KTQA Daily Briefing here on KTQA LP 95.3 FM here in Tacoma. April 15th, a day heavy with resonance. For people who work, given that it is nominally tax day.
Not this year.
But not this year. So it has been postponed, was it 90 days, 30 days?
Into July sometime,
okay. I didn't even notice that it was April 15th until I looked at the calendar to tell you what day it was. That's how weird. That is kind of how things are with me at this point. I do have a habit of sort of hermiting up, even on my own, and that's definitely serving me well right now, isn't it?
It is. Anyone who is a little bit more secluded or introverted naturally might be having an okay time right now, although I have noticed some folks that are naturally more inclined to hermit up feeling really pressured to suddenly do a ton of online meetings and Zoom connections with people. And even that can be a little bit overwhelming.
Yes. I can confirm.
For those of us that are used to seeing 1,400 people daily, I'm super happy to go on to some kind of live video chat.
Yeah, for most of my life, my coworkers are generally machines stacked in racks in climate-controlled bunkers. So, I'm used to being alone. And I've discovered I don't like attending conferences, online video conferences, but I like bombing yours.
Yes, you do. I've noticed that. My colleagues have noticed that. My friends have noticed that. We'll just notice that. We'll just leave that there.
All right. Are you ready to get on with the briefings then?
I am, but right. I did have a question for you, Sam.
Oh, what's that?
Are you wearing socks today?
No.
I'm wearing socks today because it's Tacoma Public Schools Crazy Sock Day.
Oh. I've got an emergency pair of socks literally right here. They're not crazy. They're just labeled.
They are labeled. One says Sam's sock and the other one says Sam's other sock. I think they're quite aptly placed pinned to the wall, where one might need their socks.
To explain a little bit, this studio is normally a podcast studio. And to sort of make it inviting to the guests who recorded here, I have surrounded the room with sort of... What's the word you use?
Tchotchkes.
Yeah.
Knickknacks.
Tchotchkes. Yeah, you surrounded them with tchotchkes. Are you ready? Are we ready to...
Yeah, I think we're
ready. What kind of socks? Are you wearing socks? I presume you're wearing socks.
I am wearing socks. I put on these socks last night and just haven't changed them for today without even knowing it was Crazy Sock Day, but my socks...
So you slept in socks?
I slept in socks.
Wow, okay.
My socks are so scholarly... When I can't be in school, I still wear socks that mimic wide-ruled lined paper. They are school teacher socks.
I don't know if this is the right venue to say this, but the sudden questions about my socks seem awfully...
Personal?
Personal and purient. And I'm made a little uncomfortable by them.
Okay. Well, we won't be seeing any of your socks up on Tacoma Public Schools.
Can we stop
Instagram
talking
pages?
About my socks, please, and yes. Get on to the news?
Yes.
Thank
State
you.
Level updates on COVID-19 can be found online in multiple languages at coronavirus.wa.gov. Dialing 311 will get you to the City of Tacoma's non-emergency information line. Health department officials are staffing a coronavirus Q&A line 6 a.m. to 10 p.m. 7 days a week at 1-800-525-0127. For interpreters in other languages, press pound when they answer and say your language. You can also now text the coronavirus hotline at 211211 in any language. Dialing 211 will connect you to community resources statewide through the United Way, and you can also visit wa211.org online.
Moving on to Washington State, Governor Inslee has signed three emergency proclamations. The first waives the one-year limit for convicted individuals to raise post-conviction challenges. It also suspends the statute of limitations on filing charges for all crimes. The second proclamation has waived and suspended some statutory limitations that apply to commercial truck drivers in order to support the continued flow and delivery of essential goods and services. The third proclamation protects federal stimulus money from consumer debt collections. Links to all the proclamations can be found by going to governor.wa.gov and clicking on the News and Media tab.
Regionally, San Juan County officials are directing all non-essential travelers to postpone travel to the islands through at least May 4th, including anyone whose primary home is somewhere other than the San Juan Islands. So if you got your vacation home there, no going. Stay home right now. Lodgings are not open to vacationers. Parks are closed. Ferry riders must remain in cars for the duration of any transit. Anyone returning from the mainland must quarantine for 14 days, and boaters may neither anchor nor pick up mooring buoys in the San Juans. Also regionally, all King County parks and associated parking lots continue to be closed through at least May 4th, so parked vehicles are actively being towed from lots.
We're not mentioning it in this briefing, but Pierce County parks are also closed at this time, are they not?
Parks are closed. Yeah. No gathering spaces, picnic areas, playgrounds, no-nos right now.
Okay. Moving on to the city of Tacoma, the Washington Attorney General's office has ordered managers of the Boulders at Puget Sound apartment complex to cease and desist distribution of eviction notices, rescind such notices, and notify residents that management will comply with the eviction moratorium. Landlords who try to kick out tenants in violation of the evictions moratorium or who try to add late penalties on rent before April 17th may be reported by using the online report evictions form found at coronavirus.wa.gov in the blue box at the top or by calling the State Attorney General's office at 253-593-5243. And that's all we've got for today. And I would normally transition into something interesting before we move on to the interview, but
I already talked about
yeah
socks.
You kind of front-loaded it with all the crazy conversation about socks, so I think we'll leave it there for today. You can dial 311 for City of Tacoma's non-emergency information line. Dialing 211 will connect you to statewide community resources. Our email address is daily@ktqa.org, or you can call or text us at 253-330-8821. Now on to the interview.
With me this afternoon is Marissa Meyer. She is a Tacoma-based author of multiple young adult sci-fi fantasy novels, including the Lunar Chronicles series, Renegades trilogy, and the standalone novel Heartless. Welcome, Marissa.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
So I want to ask first about your debut novel, Cinder, because it had really interesting beginnings. Actually, I read as a NaNoWriMo. Can you tell us about how Cinder came to be?
It did. Yeah. So I had the idea way back in 2008, this idea to write a series of science fiction fairy tale retellings. And I was really excited about that idea and spent a few months brainstorming different fairy tales that I would retell and how would I adapt them into this science fiction future. And then one night I had a dream about Cinderella, and in this dream, I saw a very typical Disney-esque Cinderella, you know, running away from the castle as the clock was striking midnight. But in my dream, rather than a shoe falling off, her whole foot fell off. And I kind of snapped awake, and my first thought was that she was a cyborg, and that it was a mechanical foot that wasn't properly attached. And so that idea kind of started to grow and expand in my imagination, and started to grow into this story of Cinder, this cyborg Cinderella character. And that was a couple of months before November, which is National Novel Writing Month. Which for listeners who are not familiar with NaNoWriMo, it is this really cool challenge that happens every November in which writers all over the world try to write a 50,000 word novel during November. And I love this challenge. I had done it a number of times, you know, before I had this idea. And so I was really, really excited for November to come and for me to try my hand at writing this science fiction story. However, then I also heard about a contest that was happening in which I don't really clearly remember how it all came about, but there was this contest that the Seattle area writer who could write the most words that year would win a walk-on role in an episode of Star Trek for this new Star Trek season that they were thinking of producing.
Ooh, that's compelling to those of us that like sci-fi.
Yes, no, and I got so excited and thought, well, I clearly have to try to win this because how amazing would that be? And so I ended up for that November writing the first draft of Cinder, what would become Cinder. But then I also went on and wrote the first draft of book two, Scarlet, and the first draft of book three, Cress, and ended up with just over 150,000 words that month and walked away with it from it with this very good start of this series that would become the Lunar Chronicles.
So what about these classic children's tales and fairy tales and children's literature really inspires you?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of things. I love that they have endless potential. You know, if you give 100 authors the instruction to retell the story of Cinderella, you're going to end up with 100 very different retellings. And there's just endless ways that these can be reimagined and reinvigorated. And so I love that. I love that there's this familiarity with the story. A lot of us, of course, grew up with these stories and have really deep emotional attachments to them, whether that's because we loved Disney movies or because we remember our parents reading these stories to us. And so we already have a connection, and yet an author can still take the story in a million different directions and still manage to give us something very new and unique using that framework that we all know so well.
I want to talk about some of that unique things that you threw into it. The setting for Cinder is in like this this sort of futuristic Asia. So very different from the European Disney castle kind of thing. Why that setting?
Yeah, so I, having loved fairy tales my whole life, and I studied them a lot in college, and one tidbit that I found fascinating is that what many people believe to be the first recorded version of the Cinderella story actually comes to us from 9th century China. And it's a story called Ying Shen, which I'm probably mispronouncing, my apologies. But if you read the story, it is so clearly the story of Cinderella. You know, there's this girl, she has a wicked stepmother and wicked stepsisters, and she goes to a ball and she loses the slipper, which is found by the emperor, who then has to track her down. And, you know, all of these moments and these beats of the story that we clearly recognize as the Cinderella story. But whereas we think of Cinderella as something that came from maybe the Brothers Grimm or Charles Perrault, we can tell that it actually originated much, much earlier than that in these early beginnings in China. Or some people think that orally the story even goes back farther than that, potentially to Egypt, or there's different theories. But anyway, knowing that history, which I just think is so interesting, I decided to set Cinder in this futuristic version of China, kind of in some ways to pay homage to that history of the story, and also because I felt like it had this very cool cyclical feel to it, the idea of going from the origins back in 9th century China to now seeing the story told in far, far future China.
Cinderella is not the only fairy tale that you have spun into this awesome series. You said Scarlet. That's based on which tale? Is that Red Riding Hood?
That is Little Red Riding Hood, yes, in which Little Red is now a spaceship pilot. And then Cress is based on Rapunzel, in which Rapunzel is a computer hacker. And the fourth book of the series is Winter, and that one is based on Snow White.
I also read that you once wrote a little sci-fi version of Puss in Boots, and as one member of a bona fide crazy cat family, we just really want to know if lasers and spaceships were involved with kittens.
Yes. Oh gosh, that was way before. That was even before I had this idea for this series. I actually used to write fan fiction. Was really into Sailor Moon fan fiction when I was a teenager, and so I have this this, like you say, Puss in Boots science fiction, like, alternate universe Sailor Moon fan fiction story that was written ages ago and very heavily inspired by Star Wars, which was my first sci-fi love. And you know, I don't really remember the details of that story other than there was a robotic talking cat, which of course was the Puss in Boots character. And yes, there were spaceships and a society of people that lived on the moon. And a lot of the threads that you then see in the Lunar Chronicles definitely originated straight from that Puss in Boots story all those years ago.
Well, I'm glad that you brought up fan fiction, because as a genre, it sometimes can get poo-pooed in a lot of contexts, but it to me, it seems like a natural evolution of, like, oral storytelling traditions where storytellers will elaborate on tales and characters in their own way. How would you characterize fan fiction?
I'm a huge advocate for fan fiction and for writers using fan fiction to develop their craft. For me personally, I credit the years that I spent writing fan fiction 100% with helping me learn how to be a writer and how to write compelling stories. And even a lot of the business side of things I learned from fan fiction, as far as having to write to a deadline and update regularly and kind of take it seriously rather than just waiting for inspiration to show up. And so I think, you know, if someone is inspired to write fan fiction, they're doing it out of a place of love and passion. You know, there's, of course, no money involved, but you love this world or these characters so much that you become inspired to then take them and create something brand new, which I think is exactly like you say. It is this continuation of a lot of storytelling traditions. You know, it's just that now we have internet archives in which we can share it. And so I think it's wonderful. And I highly encourage, you know, if you are interested in writing fan fiction, do it, you know, and you can learn so much. You can build a great community. So I think it has a lot of benefits for creators and also for the fans.
I also want to know, how does being a writer in an editor-publisher context now differ from being a writer in that context of a fanfic community?
Yeah, so one of the biggest differences is that, you know, writing books, generally I have one book come out every year. So if I'm writing a series, you know, 3 or 4 books long, readers will, you know, read the first book and then they have to wait 12 months and then they read the second book and then they have to wait 12 months. Whereas with writing fan fiction, a lot of authors will choose to write on a schedule in which, say, they're posting maybe one chapter every week. And so you get a lot of instant feedback with fan fiction, which can be good or bad. There's pros and cons to that. But yet you're, you know, just like kind of having that schedule and that constant connection to your readership, it can be very inspiring and very motivating to keep you going. Whereas writing, you know, one book a year can feel a lot more isolating at times. And, you know, we spend months and months crafting this story without having any real idea how it's going to be received. And yet you, of course, do your best. And that's one reason why I think fan fiction is so beneficial, or fandom is so beneficial, to even like the original creator. Like for me now, I'm on the other side of things where my published novels have fandoms and there are people who write fan fiction about my books. And I think it's fantastic because it keeps that community involved. It keeps them exciting and kind of, you know, keeps your characters and your world at the forefront of people's imaginations, even when there's, you know, 12 months going in between every publication.
I've heard that in some really high-profile cases, like J.K. Rowling with the Harry Potter series, that fan fiction community and body of literature can even influence further things within a series in, like, these little ways. Do you find that that's happening with you, or have you participated in anything like that for other creators?
Yes, absolutely. And I don't, I would say that I am not super involved in the fandoms for my own work. And that's largely because I don't want to be unduly influenced. You know, I have a very clear idea of what I want the story to be. And also because I want fans to feel like the fandom, it's for them. And I'm not peeking over anybody's shoulder, you know, trying to see what they're doing. However, there you do, you know, start to hear maybe theories about where the story is going, or there will be things in the fandom that you start to hear, oh, they really love this character. And as a writer, you think, well, maybe I should bring that character more to the forefront, or maybe that character is deserving of their own subplot, or, you know, various ways that you can kind of take some of that feedback and let it then influence the direction that you're taking the story.
A lot of the characters in at least the Luna Chronicles and in Heartless, the protagonists are female. Are any of these biographical in any way? Do you throw yourself into these characters?
Yes and no. I feel like there's a little bit of myself in all of my characters. And that's the female characters, the male characters, the good guys, the bad guys. You know, I have to be able to connect with each character on some level, in order to be able to write them, you know, somewhat authentically. And so there's definitely pieces of myself in all of them. And I could sit and pick out different personality traits. But at the same time, there's no character that's, you know, 100% me. A lot of times with my hero characters, I'm putting characteristics into them that I really admire or that I envy, maybe characteristics that I wish I had more of myself. You know, I want to be more like this character because XYZ. And so there's a lot of that going on where it'll be a little bit of me, but then also, you know, just trying to write characters that I think are really compelling and interesting and that I'm going to want to spend you know, months and months of my life with.
Do you have any that are particular favorites or that you would like to meet in person?
Oh, probably Eco, who is the android best friend character in the Lunar Chronicles. And then she's also the hero. She kind of gets her own story in, I wrote a couple of graphic novels called Wires and Nerve, in which Eco gets to be the main character. And she's so fun. She's really spunky and has a great sense of humor and is very boisterous and a little eccentric for an android. And I always loved writing her, and I just think that she would be, you know, a gas to hang out with.
So you grew up in Tacoma, you went to college at PLU. Does any of our city or region make it into your writing?
Funny, not so far. I love this area, and you're right, I've grown up here, I've been here my whole life. And I think it's really conducive to creativity, whether that's just because it's so beautiful here. And I really appreciate just the scenery and the environment that we have, whether it's the weather. A lot of writers talk about how when it's raining outside, that's the best kind of writing weather. So there's lots of ways that this area inspires me in that regard. But funny enough, I have yet to write a book that's even set really in America. I've had books set in Asia and Europe and Africa and the moon and Wonderland, but nothing yet so far that was set locally. But that could change. We'll see.
Well, that could change. Is there any upcoming publication that we should watch out for?
Nothing yet that's set here in Washington. But my next book that's coming out in November of this year, called Instant Karma, does take place in California. So we are getting a little bit closer.
Nice. And how can listeners follow your work or find your books?
You can find me on my website, marissameyer.com, or on Instagram at marissameyerauthor.
Marissa Meyer is a Tacoma-based author of multiple young adult sci-fi fantasy novels, including the Lunar Chronicle series, Renegades trilogy, and the standalone novel Heartless, few graphic novels. Thank you so much for joining me.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Dialing 311 will connect you to the City of Tacoma Non-Emergency Information Line. Dialing 211 will connect you to statewide community resources. Our email address is daily@ktqa.org, or you can call or text us at 253-330-8821. See you tomorrow.
KTQA LP 95.3 Tacoma.